Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Namo Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Jaya Prabhupada Nitya Gaura Hariva 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 Gaura Hariva
Hare Krishna. Om Sambhraya Krishna Prasthaya Udhale. Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Guru Manjari Vishishuni Hare Vastana. So, we continue with this seminar on the Vedic view of the mind and psychology. And today we have to close around 12 o'clock. We could go a little bit over, but there's a second seminar coming at 12:30. So what I want to go into today, we can say is focused on one verse from Bhagavad Gita. Where Krishna says, this famous verse, Mama Aivang Sajivloke Jiva Bhutta Sanatana Manaksistan Indriyani Prakritistani Karshati. So he's saying in this verse, on the one side, all the living entities, all the jivas, they are part and parcel of him. He uses the word amsa, which amsa means like bodily limb, like my arm is an amsa of my body. So this is the position of every spirit soul. And after having said that, in the first part of the verse, and the second part of the verse, he says, Manakshastan Indriyani Prakritistani Karshati. That in the material world, these living entities are struggling with the six senses, including the mind as the sixth sense. So, this naturally raises some questions that how is it that we can be actually situated with Krishna as his part and parcel so intimately from what the Lord is saying, and yet at the same time here we are in the material world and we're not Krishna conscious, we're not aware of that intimate relationship with Krishna. So how do these seem like two very opposite positions, and yet they're both combined by the Lord in this one verse. So, what we're looking at here is relationship. And there's a word in Sanskrit which will be coming up in this presentation, which is found in the Srimad Bhagavatam in quite a number of verses. That word is anunya, which is a contraction. You know, the word contraction? Like a word like, yeah, shortening, like instead of saying cannot, you say can't. So anunya is a Sanskrit contraction of anya, anya. Instead of saying anya, anya, you say anunya. And anya means other. So anunya actually means other, other. And what the word is expressing is relationship. That a relationship means two others. Two others. And they're together somehow. So we have a relationship with Krishna, and yet we have a relationship with the material world. And within relationship, there is conflict. You see, that this word anonya can mean both. It can mean like a mutual, you know, nice, harmonious relationship, or it can also mean, anonya can mean a conflict. It's anonya is like the English phrase, each other. So two people, they can love each other, or they can hate each other. And so, now we take it further, relationship, that's of course very, very prominent in people's problems, in psychology. And even within ourselves, we have conflicts in our own mind. And this can cause us, actually this conflicted mind is a cause of very major psychological disorders. You've all heard the word neurosis, I'm sure. So in modern psychology, they say the neurosis is caused by a conflict in the mind. And within this, under this neurosis, you know, heading, you have anxiety states, you have obsessions, you have hysteria. Yeah. So you see, all this goes back to this one principle, anonya relationship. And ultimately, the relationship is, you see, on the one side with Krishna and on the other side with Maya. So we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, chapter 13, verse 8, that Uddhava asks a question to Lord Krishna, which is just about the conflicted mind. My dear Krishna, generally human beings know that material life brings great future unhappiness. And still they try to enjoy material life. My dear Lord, how can one in knowledge act just like a dog, an ass, or a goat? Now, Uddhava is asking this question for all human beings. He's saying that all human beings, they know that future life will be unhappy. All human beings know that as time goes on, it is robbing us of our capacity to enjoy anything. It is robbing us of our health and strength. It is making us old and infirm, and finally, time brings death. I was, and you know, just a few days ago, I saw on the internet news a report on some conference in America on aging. And some of the scientists at this conference were saying that it's funny what they were saying. They were saying by the year 2075, which means beyond the life of most people today, by that time, then people will be able to live for 120 years or 180 years. Some scientists were saying, not all. It's a typical thing they will say. When you're dead, people will live so long. But you'll be dead. You won't see it. So then the reporters who heard this, they went to some other scientists and asked them what they thought. And they were very dismissive. And they said, what is the use anyway? They said, even if someone does, you see, there already are people who live to 120, few people, you know, 120, 130, I think, maybe maximum in recent times. Someone was 150, I think, you know, somewhere out in the Caucasus Mountains, some old guy up there, top of a mountain, was 150 years old. But the scientists were saying, but when a person goes beyond 100 years in his life, then that life, those years after 100, are, you know, very miserable. I mean, there's, you know, the eyesight is failing, everything's failing. It's just that's all you experience in those years, is bit by bit the body failing, not working anymore. So they say this is not, you know, anything that we should will look forward to. So the point here is that everyone knows this. This is not just devotees know that, you know, as our life reaches end, we will suffer. Everyone knows. So Uddhava, then he's asking Krishna, why is it that people, knowing that this will be their fate, why do they remain mad after sense gratification? So now Lord Krishna, he gives quite an involved reply to this question. But for the sake of this seminar, I'm going to just look at one portion of the Lord's reply. And this is where Krishna, in order to illustrate what he's saying, he refers to a question that was asked millions and millions of years ago by the four Kumaras to Lord Brahma. And I will actually read this question. Sanaka Uchu Guneshu Ovishyate Cheto Gunas Chetasi Cha Prabhu Katam Anonya Santiago Mumukshu Atititirshasho. So the four Kumaras asked that, O Lord, people's minds are naturally attracted to material sense objects. And similarly, the sense objects in the form of desire enter within the mind. Therefore, how can a person who wants liberation cross over the activities of sense gratification? How can he destroy this, and the word anonya, this mutual relationship between the sense objects and the mind? Now we know from the Bhagavad Gita, Deto Vishepung Sangaste Shupajayate. This is, everyone knows this verse, that when we contemplate sense objects, then the mind becomes attached to them, and then this leads us step by step into materialistic life. Yeah. So now the Kumaras, by their what they pointed out here, is we can say a new dimension. We may not have considered a new dimension to this process. What the Kumaras are saying is that this mind that we have is actually meant for engaging in sense objects. And similarly, the sense objects are defined within the mind. So, let's look at it this way. I'll try to help you really see the essential point here. Let's look at it this way. Try to think what a mind would be if there was absolutely no impression of it, impression in it, of any sense objects. So you think of a mind that had no conception of visual objects or audible objects. Or any sense perception. What kind of mind would that be? That would not be a mind that we would like to have. It would be totally ignorant. You see, we couldn't recognize it as a mind. A person who had a mind like that would have to be, you know, put in an institution. Because he would not be relating at all to the external world. And then on the other side, take it to the other side. What are sense objects without mind? You see? Now, when you smell, say there's a big feast being cooked, and you can smell the puris. So, immediately, because when the smell enters your consciousness, you think that this is a good smell. But where is the good of that smell? Do you think it's in the smell itself? Or do you think it's in your mind? And the answer is, it's in your mind. We have this a story from the preaching of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He sent his Gaudiya Math disciples to preach in Burma. Burma, now it's called Myanmar, by the way. It used to be known as Burma. So this is the country to the east of India. Now it's to the east of Bangladesh, but Bangladesh used to be East Bengal. So to the east of India, there's a land called Burma, which is mostly Buddhist people, sort of Asiatic people, but there are some Indians who live there too. So the Gaudiya mission there was preparing a feast. They were, India, the practice is when they prepare a big feast, they cook everything outside. So they were frying puris and other things in ghee. And the smell was pervading the whole neighborhood. Now the Burmese people were coming and complaining. What is this horrible smell you're making? Very bad. We don't like this. see? Now, if we smell it, we think that's a nice smell. Now, in that part of Asia, in Burma and Cambodia and Vietnam, what they consider a very good preparation is, in each country it has different names, but it's always the same. They take fish and they cram as many fish as they can into a clay pot. And then they let that pot sit for 2-3 years. In the hot sun, it sits, and everything in the pot then becomes a kind of black, oily mush. And you can imagine what it smells like. So the Burmese and Cambodians and Vietnamese, they love to put this stuff, they call it a sauce at the end. They love to put this sauce on their rice, you see. This is they're defining culture actually of these countries, you know, is that if you're a real Burmese, then you love this sauce. You won't eat rice without this sauce. And they think it smells very good. And puri is fried in ghee. Whoa, very bad. So the good, you see, the good or bad of a smell exists in the mind. So that's what I mean, that mind defines sense objects. And similarly, sense objects define the mind. You can't imagine a mind without these perceptions. So this is the problem that the Kumaras present to their illustrious father, Lord Brahma. That we are supposed to, you know, those who are intelligent among human beings, we're supposed to strive in this life for liberation. And so we understand liberation to mean detaching the mind from sense objects. But how can you do it? You see, it's like, you know, sense objects, in a sense, make the mind, and the mind makes sense objects. So how do you split the two? And then taking this further, you see, it's because of the interaction of sense objects and mind, as explained here, that we have desire. So this seems to mean that you cannot rid yourself of desire. And that's a fact. I already explained that yesterday. So this is a problem, and it again brings up this issue of we are spirit soul, we are part and parcel of Krishna, intimate relationship, and yet here we are. And how do we ever get out of this? You see? Or you can even ask, how did we get into this in the first place? And having gotten into it, how do we ever get out of it? It's a very, you know, when you consider this, it's a very problematic, it's a problem of relationship, and a very baffling problem of relationship. And it is so baffling that it baffled even Lord Brahma. Krishna tells to Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, Brahma himself, who is born directly from the body of the Lord, And who is the creator of all living entities within the material world, being the best of the demigods, seriously contemplated the question of his sons for a long time. The intelligence of Brahma, however, was affected by his own activities of creation. You see, now what this means is Brahma's own mind was merged into the universe that he had created. He was in the same situation. So he started to think, yeah, how does that work? And so the conclusion is, he could not discover the essential answer to this question. But Brahma, because he's in this unique position, which makes him distinct from all other jivas in the universe, he's the one jiva who is invested by the Lord with the power of creation. He is the one jiva who is the direct son of the Lord. The only one, because he appears from this lotus flower, which comes directly from the navel of Vishnu. So the Supreme Lord is always kindly disposed to his son. And so the Lord appeared at that time to help Brahma out of his bewildered state. The Lord, naturally, he's thinking that I can't have my representative of Vedic knowledge to everyone else in the universe be bewildered, so I have to come. If he can't answer the question, I'll come and help him. So at this time, the Lord came as the Hamsa avatar. And this is the form of the Lord as a white swan. And a swan has this ability to drink from a mixture of milk and water, and he takes only the milk and leaves the water. So this he did for Brahma's intelligence. He separated Lord Brahma's intelligence from his illusion. So Hamsa Avatar's answer is also lengthy, but I have selected three verses. Manasa vachasa drishtya krihyate anyer apindriyai aham eva na mato nyat iti budhyadvam anjasa. And second verse, guneshu avasicheto gunas chetasi cha prabha jivasya deha ubhayam gunas cheto mad atmanaha. So these two verses mean, within this world, whatever is perceived by the mind and the other senses is me alone and nothing besides me. Then he goes on to say that he agrees with the Kumaras. Yes, the mind does have its natural propensity to enter into the material sense objects. And the sense objects do enter into the mind. But then he concludes that this has nothing to do with you as spirit soul.
uzavíráme trvání společného s tebou jako duši.
And these are designations only, mind and sense objects, which cover the spirit soul.
Jsou jenom označení mysl a smyslové objekty, které zahrnují duši.
But the spirit soul is always Cheto Madatmana, is always part and parcel of me. So this is very interesting. Now to there's a, you know, we don't have unlimited time here. I could develop the theme of this answer in an elaborate way, but I'll just come to a quick conclusion. And the quick conclusion, it's actually brought out in a very similar question as that asked by the Kumaras of their father. There's a very similar question, the language is very similar, asked by Mother Devahuti to Lord Kapiladev. But what she asks, instead of the relationship of the mind to the sense object, she's asking about the relationship of Purusha to Prakriti, in other words, the living entity and the material nature. See, Purusha means enjoyer, so living entity wants to enjoy. And his enjoyment is this material nature. And similarly, material nature exists for that purpose. So she also wants to know how these two can ever be separated. And she also uses this word anonya, relationship. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm referring to her question because this brings out an interesting point. She's talking about prakriti, the material energy. So, what Hamsa Avatar is saying, when he says that everything that you perceive is actually me, he's talking about his energy. There's, you know, so many other verses in Bhagavatam that make that clear. That the Lord and His energy, they're not different. Because, why? Because they can never be separated. The Lord is powerful, the most powerful. Why? Because this great power, the material energy, is His power. So they cannot be separated, the power and the powerful. So therefore the Hamsa Avatar is saying, whatever you perceive with your senses through the mind, this is all myself. And yet, there's a difference too. There's a difference between the light coming out of this fluorescent tube and the tube itself. There's clearly a difference between powerful and power. So this is our philosophy, simultaneous, inconceivable, oneness and difference. So and we can also bring in this quotation, Vedic quotation, which Srila Prabhupada gives in a Bhagavad Gita purport. About the three features of Brahman, Sri Vidham Brahmanitat. So that Brahman, according to this quotation, is not Advaita, it is not just oneness. It is actually three in oneness. There is the Lord, there is the living entity, and there is the Lord's energy. So these three make up Brahman, the reality, the total absolute existence. So now we come back to the original problem. Mama aivangsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. And yet, manaksa stan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. Here we are, in an intimate relationship with the Lord, and yet we're struggling with our mind and senses. How did that happen? And the answer to this question is that Lord with whom we are intimately connected, He is the Lord of what? What makes Him the Lord? He's the Lord over His energy. So His energy is also there. His energy is also involved in this relationship. So it's a three-cornered relationship, actually. It's not just us and Krishna, but there's also His prakriti involved. And prakriti cannot be separated from the relationship. In fact, there is a lecture where Srila Prabhupada clearly states that in our heart, we know, now we all know, everyone in this room knows very well, you've heard it, that what's in the heart? What's in the heart? Well, there's the jiva atma and there's the paramatma. But there is a lecture where Srila Prabhupada says also prakriti is there. The Lord's energy. Mm-hmm. And she's never separated from Him. So now we see. Now we see how to resolve this baffling problem. That we are part and parcel of the Lord, but somehow we have come to presume ourselves also to be the Lord. So this means we have become bewildered as to the real nature of our relationship with Him. Which is to serve Him. And now we're thinking that we will be Him. And you know, this mistake is even made by the yogis, the mystic yogis, who after so much difficult meditation, they realize Paramatma in the heart. Srila Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that there is another kind of impersonal realization, but it manifests after one has realized the Lord's personal form. You see, there's the what we know when we think of impersonal realization. This is called Brahma Sayujya. So one realizes the rays of Brahma Jyoti and merges into them. Okay, that's clear. But there's another kind of impersonal liberation called Ishwara Sayujya. So one actually realizes the Lord as Ishwara. Ishwara means as the Lord. as the Lord of the material energy. And it's there that the jiva wants to merge. Because he wants to be that Lord. Yeah, so then if we try to take that position of the Lord himself, then how will we see this energy? It's no longer the Lord's energy. It's my energy. You see? But actually, this comes back. Hamsa Avatar is saying, no, whatever you see is me, actually. I am behind this energy that you are lusting after. It's me. But you're unable to see me. You've put me out of the picture. You're thinking you are me. You see? So then it's this attitude that sets up an unhealthy relationship with the Lord's energy. Now let's consider this relationship between the Lord and his energy from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's consider it from the pure spiritual point of view. So there are some very beautiful verses in the 6th canto, chapter 19. And here is one of them. Guna vyaktir yam devi vyanjako guna bhug bhavam tvam hi sava shariryatma shri sorindriyasaya namarupe bhagavati pratyastvam apashaya. So what this verse is describing is Lord Narayan and Goddess Lakshmi. And it is stated here that the Lord, in relationship to Lakshmi, he is the enjoyer. And he also is living within the hearts of all living entities. And Lakshmiji, who is enjoyed by the Lord, she also, as the Lord is going into the material creation to enter the hearts of all living entities, so she serves him by manifesting their bodies. Their senses. And their minds. So, this body, the senses, the mind, this is actually the energetic manifestation of Lakshmi Devi. So this is very interesting when we consider what is really happening even in this body. It is a combination of Sri Sri Lakshmi and Narayan. Then in my notes I have a quotation from Srila Prabhupada where he's explaining that this is from a Bhagavatam lecture in 1976. So he's explaining that there is no difference between Lakshmi Narayan, Sita Ram, Radha Krishna. So we can even think of this body, senses, mind and Paramatma in terms of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And we are there too. Why are we there? We are there to serve. So this is why Lakshmiji has manifest the body, the senses and the mind, creating an opportunity for service, for devotional service to her Lord, who is the actual Ishwara of this, even, you know, this material identity. He is the Ishwara. But we have made a big mistake. We, who are the serving potency, the jiva, we have falsely assumed the idea that I am the master here, I am the Ishwara. And so Bhagavatam says, Iyam hi prakriti shukshma maya shaktir duratyaya. That Lakshmi, the internal potency who has manifested this body and mind for devotional service, she is also simultaneously the external potency, the maya shakti. You see, so because of our wrong attitude, therefore, manaksistan indriyani prakritistani karshati, therefore now we are struggling with the mind and the senses. Therefore now, this is maya, mind and senses. All these problems we're struggling with. Problem of existence in the material world. But there is an original pure intention to this creation. And that is expressed in another 6th canto, chapter 19, verse. Tasya adishwara shakshat tvam eva purushapara tvam sarvam jagyam ijayam kriye palabhug bhavam. That this manifestation of Paramatma being the Lord of a body and Lakshmi Devi being the body, the bodily energy and the mental energy, this manifestation, why is it? It is for yagya. It is for sacrifice. So, in this sacrifice, then Lakshmiji, she is the ijayam. Ijayam means she is the offering of worship. And the kriya means ija and kriya. Kriya means the activity of sacrifice. This is Lakshmi. And the Lord, He is Palabhug. He's the enjoyer of that. You see? So this is just another manifestation of the transcendental loving exchange between the Lord and His consort. And so this pure relationship can be realized by us if we take up this program of yagya, of sacrifice. And then we can understand the real nature of this, to use that word again, anunya. This three-cornered, triangular relationship of ourself as living entity, the Lord as the Ishwara, and the energy, His energy, Prakriti. So, this requires, yes, purification, but the sacrifice itself is the method of purification. So, on the issue of mental torment. Yes, we have a verse from the 11th canto. This is again Krishna speaking to Uddhava. He says, just as an improperly treated disease recurs and gives repeated distress to the patient, the mind that is not completely purified of its perverted tendencies will remain attached to material things and repeatedly torment the imperfect yogi. So this is the mental torment or mental conflict. That we have taken up this process of devotional sacrifice, but the mind has not become entirely free of this propensity to think, I am the enjoyer and this energy is mine. And so what is the root of this? So we find in another verse in Bhagavatam, very nicely explained, 5th canto. There's the expression anonya vairaha. So again, anonya, relationship, but vairaha means envy. Due to ignorance, the materialistic person does not know anything about his real self-interest. The auspicious path in life, which is this path of yajna. He is simply bound to material enjoyment by lusty desires. And all his plans are made for this purpose. So due to this mentality, he plunges into the ocean of suffering. And he doesn't even know it. He doesn't even know that what he's doing is bringing suffering. Yes, so the root problem then is envy. Envy of the living entity for the Lord's position. And on the other side, because raga dvesha, you see they go together. Raga means attraction and dvesha means envy. So these are two sides to the same thing. So on the one side there's envy of the Lord, on the other side there's raga, there's a lustful attraction for the Lord's energy. And so and in fact it is the energy that punishes us for this. The Lord remains, he's just neutral. Dhanavir Maharaj was speaking this morning on this point, how the Lord is equal to everyone. And even to those who are envious of him. You heard him say, Maharaj say, that it's Indra who wants to interfere with someone, say in the forest, who's doing mystic yoga. Then Indra thinks, I have to stop him. The Supreme Lord never does that. Well, he might come and kill a demon, but that's at the request of others. But for himself, he's reserved, he's neutral. But it's the Lord's energy. Lakshmi, she has this other side, Durga. And she takes action. She thinks this rascal, because she's devotee, she's the first devotee. She's the leader of all devotees. And she thinks, this rascal who's meant to serve the Lord defies him? Well, then she takes action. And she bewilders us. You see, so this is how it comes that we accept a material mind and a material body, and how we accept these material sense objects, because we are bewildered by the Lord's energy. Now, there is an original purpose for mind, body, sense objects, which is pure and can only be known in Krishna consciousness. But when we give up this consciousness, and then we think, you see, then we become covered, and we think this mind is mine or myself. But this mind, which covers us, is a material energy. Just like the body and just like the senses and sense objects. And as such, being material, being this material face of the Lord's potency, the only purpose of this is to give us trouble. And we will continue to be given trouble as long as we maintain this envy of the Lord in our heart. So then what to do? Then we have to understand again, what is the Lord's actual purpose? What is the original purpose for this manifestation of body, mind, sense objects? So, there are two. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that there are two divisions of the Lord's pastimes. One is the Paramartika pastimes. Now the word Paramartika means purely transcendental, beyond material conception, achintya, beyond the power of conception, avan manasagochara, beyond the mind, beyond the senses. These are the Lord's leelas in the spiritual world. So, yes, that is beyond us right now. But there is a lila in which we are actually in contact with now. And so Bhagavatam says, Yam hi prakriti shukshma maya shaktir duratyaya, that Lakshmi, the internal potency who has manifest this body and mind for devotional service, she is also simultaneously the external potency, the Maya Shakti. You see, so because of our wrong attitude, therefore, Manaksistan Indriyani Prakitistani Karshati, therefore, now we are struggling with the mind and the senses. Therefore now, this is Maya, mind and senses. All these problems we're struggling with, problem of existence in the material world. But there is a original pure intention to this creation. And that is expressed in another 6th canto, chapter 19, verse. Tasya adishvara shaksha tvameva purusha para tvam sarvam jagyam idyeyam kriye palabhubhavam. That this manifestation of Paramatma being the Lord of a body and Lakshmi Devi being the body, the bodily energy and the mental energy, this manifestation, why is it? It is for yagya. It is for sacrifice. So, in this sacrifice, then Lakshmiji, she is the ijayam. Ijayam means she is the offering of worship. And the kriya means ija and kriya. Kriya means the activity of sacrifice. This is Lakshmi. And the Lord, He is Palabhug. He is the enjoyer of that. You see? So this is just another manifestation of the transcendental loving exchange between the Lord and His consort. And so this pure relationship can be realized by us if we take up this program of yagya, of sacrifice. And then we can understand the real nature of this, to use that word again, anunya. This three-cornered, triangular relationship of ourself as living entity, the Lord as the Ishvara, and the energy, His energy, Prakriti. So, this requires, yes, purification, but the sacrifice itself is the method of purification. So, on the issue of mental torment, yes, we have a verse from the 11th canto. This is again Krishna speaking to Uddhava. He says, just as an improperly treated disease recurs and gives repeated distress to the patient, the mind that is not completely purified of its perverted tendencies will remain attached to material things and repeatedly torment the imperfect yogi. So this is the mental torment or mental conflict. That we have taken up this process of devotional sacrifice, but the mind has not become entirely free of this propensity to think, I am the enjoyer and this energy is mine. And so what is the root of this? So we find in another verse in Bhagavatam, very nicely explained, 5th canto. There's the expression anunya vairaha. So again, anunya, relationship, but vairaha means envy. Due to ignorance, The materialistic person does not know anything about his real self-interest. The auspicious path in life, which is this path of yajna. He is simply bound to material enjoyment by lusty desires. And all his plans are made for this purpose. So due to this mentality, he plunges into the ocean of suffering. And he doesn't even know it. He doesn't even know that what he's doing is bringing suffering. Yes, so the root problem then is envy. Envy of the living entity for the Lord's position. And on the other side, because raga dvesha, you see they go together. Raga means attraction and dvesha means envy. So these are two sides to the same thing. So on the one side there's envy of the Lord, on the other side there's raga, there's a lustful attraction for the Lord's energy. And so and in fact it is the energy that punishes us for this. The Lord remains, he's just neutral. Dhanavir Maharaj was speaking this morning on this point, how the Lord is equal to everyone. And even to those who are envious of him. You heard him say, Maharaj say, that it's Indra who wants to interfere with someone, say in the forest, who's doing mystic yoga. Then Indra thinks, I have to stop him. The Supreme Lord never does that. Well, he might come and kill a demon, but that's at the request of others. But for himself, he's reserved, he's neutral. But it's the Lord's energy. Lakshmi, she has this other side, Durga. And she takes action. She thinks, this rascal, because she's devotee, she's the first devotee, she's the leader of all devotees, and she thinks, this rascal who's meant to serve the Lord defies him. Well, then she takes action. And she bewilders us. You see, so this is how it comes that we accept a material mind and a material body, and how we accept these material sense objects, because we are bewildered by the Lord's energy. Now, there is an original purpose for mind, body, sense objects, which is pure and can only be known in Krishna consciousness. But when we give up this consciousness, then we think, you see, then we become covered, and we think this mind is mine or myself. But this mind, which covers us, is a material energy. Just like the body and just like the senses and sense objects. And as such, being material, being this material face of the Lord's potency, the only purpose of this is to give us trouble. And we will continue to be given trouble as long as we maintain this envy of the Lord in our heart.
Mm.
So then what to do? Then we have to understand again, what is the Lord's actual purpose? What is the original purpose for this manifestation of body, mind, sense objects? So, there are two, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that there are two divisions of the Lord's pastimes. One is the Paramartika pastimes. Now the word Paramartika means purely transcendental, beyond material conception, achintya, beyond the power of conception, avan manasagochara, beyond the mind, beyond the senses. These are the Lord's leelas in the spiritual world. So, yes, that is beyond us right now. But there is a leela in which we are actually in contact with now. Now, in the behavior, the vyavahar behavior, that word is used, sadura vyavahar, the vyavahar behavior of a devotee. This is how you know who has a pure heart. See, so you can be very confident if you see someone, you see, with a bidi in their mouth or a chilum, this for smoking, hashish, and his shakti by his side, and at the same time he's carrying one of these called ektar, one string type of instrument, plucking that and chanting Hari Bol. You can be quite sure that this person does not have a pure heart. There are so many of these fellows in India. But this is not sadhura vyavahar. This is just a form of sense gratification, a very abominable form of sense gratification, because it's going on in the name of Krishna consciousness. Yes. So, the Lord has manifested this creation according to a certain plan. This is His Vyavahar Lila. And we have our Vyavahar Dharma, which is perfectly harmonious with that Lila. So if we show the Lord, we can show Him in terms of this Lila, that we are His sincere servants, then that is our qualification for achieving the Paramartika Lila. And in this age, you see, what is most wonderful, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, the Vyavahar Lila is the same as the Paramartika Lila. Because in the spiritual world, the essential expression of love of Krishna is the chanting of His glories. We have a verse in here from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes how every morning the gopis rose together, they got up and they joined together, joining hands, and all together, and the word is again is used, anonya, all together in a group with joined hands, the gopis began to chant the glories of Krishna. And this is the essential expression of their love for Krishna. So in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna, he comes. He is the same Radha and Krishna who together have formed the union of Paramatma, mind, body, sense objects. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us what to do now in this body. Chant Hare Krishna. And this chanting is the essential expression of love in the Paramartha pastimes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to award those who chant with Prema Bhakti. So this wonderful opportunity is made manifest to the whole world in the Kali Yuga. In the other ages it was hidden. It was very, very confidential. In the other ages there is more of a difference between the Vyavahar Dharma and the Paramartika Lila. You see, in other ages, Satyuga, Vishnu Dhyan, meditate on Vishnu in the heart. Next age, performs yajnas. Next age, do deity worship. You see, so there's more of a remove. It's each, you know, deity worship is pretty close, that's pretty good. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, deity worship alone only brings you to Vaikuntha. But actually we should aim for Goloka. So, this chanting does that. Chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that is why Kali Yuga, as seemingly bad as it is the best. It's praised in the Shastra as the best of the four ages. You see, because on the one side this is about all that we can do. Human beings are very, in this age, very unqualified. But they can still sing and dance. And that they're doing anyway in all the nightclubs and rock concerts. So sing and dance for Krishna. And if you just do that, then you've positioned yourself in a confidential relationship by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Nam Sankirtan is giving the most pleasure to the Lord, more than any other manifestation of Dharma in other ages. So it is powerfully purifying and works with powerful rapidity. So this is what we should do. This is the Dharma, Sankirtan Dharma for this age. Alright, so I hope my purpose was to make clear this question of our relationship to Krishna in terms of our present situation in this body. And on the other side, our relationship to the mind and the sense objects. So just to summarize, there need not be a conflict in that relationship. We need to understand simply that this manifestation is a particular lila of the Lord. And in this lila, there is a very excellent service opportunity for us. And especially in this age, if we take up that service opportunity, then this is the way to achieve in just one step the paramartha, the transcendental position. I hope I was able to make that clear. So, we have a couple minutes for any questions you might have.
Prays to Krishna to rid him of the materialistic mentality and to be sincere in service attitude. Is it the desire of the soul or is it just the frustration of the mind with the material existence?
When you pray to Krishna, that is the proper position. Now, our prayer, that's another question. You know, the quality of our prayer, that may be better or worse. But the most important thing is to go to Krishna. So even a materialistic person, he has material desires he wants satisfied. Bhagavatam says, go to the Lord. His prayer may not be as pure as a pure devotee, but he's in the right relationship. Akama savakamo va moksha kamo daradi tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. You may be akam, free of all lusty desire, or sarvakam, full, the heart may be full of desire. Or you may be mokshakam. Now that's something like what you're saying. Mokshakam means one is very frustrated and wants to get free. So that's another kind of desire. But Bhagavatam says in any case, tibrena bhakti yogena, you take up bhakti yoga, yajeta purusham param, and you go before the parama purusha, the supreme personality of Godhead. And you, yajeta, you make your worship to him. And doing that is purifying. You see, there is no instruction that, oh, so your prayer is not up to the standard of the pure devotees. Your desire is not absolutely pure, so don't go before the Lord. Never, never. You're not allowed. So you can go before some demigod. There's never, never any such injunction. As far as going before demigods, Bhagavatam says there is also a proper form of demigod worship. And that's when the demigod is understood to be part and parcel of the Lord. So even demigod worship, properly understood, means going before the Lord. But you don't need to go to demigods at all, you just go there. Because all the demigods are there anyway, because the Lord is there. All the names of the demigods are just names of Krishna. Shiva means auspicious. Who's more auspicious than Lord Krishna? Indra means king, therefore Krishna is called Mahendra, the greatest of all the kings. Above the Indras, there is Mahendra, one Mahendra. So in this way, just go to Krishna. And your process of purification, reformation will start. And then furthermore about prayer, Srila Prabhupada said, best thing, because the acharyas have already offered all possible prayers. So you select a prayer from the acharyas or from the shastra that expresses your desire, and then your prayer will be pure. The problem is if you make up your own prayer, but you don't have to do that. See, if you make up your own prayer, then you know your desires may interfere. But if you select a prayer that best expresses what you want, and you recite that before the Lord, then it's perfect. Then that is pure devotional service, because you're following in the footsteps of the authorities. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada that I am so disturbed by sex desire. What shall I do? And Prabhupada said, go before Krishna and pray to him. He's the most expert in sex. Meaning that, you know, our obsession with sex is a very primitive and distorted, perverted platform. But Krishna's pastimes, that's the pure and absolute and unlimited manifestation of sexuality. Another time a question was raised that Krishna's pastimes, they seem to be lusty. And Prabhupada said, yes, God is lusty. But being God, he is unlimitedly lusty. So, you know, we have troubles with lust, but it's not unlimited lust. And we think, you know, someone who's lusty thinks they would like to be unlimited lusty, but that's not possible. So for unlimited lust, go to Krishna. And the unlimited lust is pure. That's what's so wonderful. That's the original desire. The original love. Alright, so it's after 12. We will stop here and continue. Tomorrow we will begin we were talking about this Vyavahara Lila. This is very, very interesting. The Purusha manifestation, these Vishnu expansions, and their relationship with the material energy, and what that has to do with us, and what that has to do with our own psychology. I assure you, this is a real eye-opener, and you don't want to miss it. It may make for you many mysterious things in the Shastra suddenly very clear. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.